Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. A hero's welcome, a standing ovation for President Trump in the Israeli parliament, where he spoke after all 20 living hostages were released after more than 2 years in Hamas captivity.
We gather on a day of profound joy, of soaring hope, of renewed faith, and above all, a day to give our deepest thanks to the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
He called the day the historic dawn of a new Middle East. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said,
"You are committed to this peace. I am committed to this peace. And together, Mr. President, we will achieve this peace."
And peace, the focus of a summit later today in Egypt. The president will serve as co-chair of the meeting of world leaders. Israel, meanwhile, has released a number of Palestinian prisoners as part of the first phase of this deal. This is ABC News.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents to take advantage of all of the upcoming fall activities scheduled at state park properties across the state. According to a press release, state parks will host events like wagon rides, candlelight hikes, campfires, and more throughout October and November. Officials are also looking for residents interested in volunteering to help with the events. A full list of scheduled events at parks across the state and information on volunteering can be found on the Department of Natural Resources website. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue is warning residents about a tax refund text scam. According to agency officials, residents have reported receiving a text claiming that their tax refund request has been processed and approved over recent weeks. The text claims that the potential victim needs to provide their bank account information to receive the tax refund and that the refund will be forfeited if they don't provide that information. Officials say the Department of Revenue does not send unsolicited text messages requesting personal information. A Birchwood man is facing multiple felony arson charges in connection to a string of fires in Sawyer County last year. According to the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office, 30-year-old Thomas Olson has been arrested in connection to the fires following a nearly year-long investigation. He's accused of intentionally setting 6 fires at various businesses and residences in the Sawyer County area last November. While Olson is now in custody, Sawyer County Sheriff's Office officials say the investigation into the alleged arson incidents is still ongoing. Barron Electric Cooperative officials say they've contributed $1,000 to Nature's Edge Therapy Center for matching grant funding. The Rice Lake Community Health Foundation recently approved the center for up to $60,000 in matching grant funding to maintain their services. The funding for the donations came from unclaimed cashback credits from former members through the Federated Youth Foundation, which has specific rules about how the cashback credits can be used, so the cooperative could not put them towards reducing utility rates. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Dodgers in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and Dodgers in Game 1 of the National League Championship Series, the best of 7. Manager Pat Murphy asked about how the Dodgers have yet to beat the Brewers this year.
Your team handled the Dodgers 6-0.
Yeah, I mean, we're not overconfident, that's for sure. Dodgers are a powerhouse. What can you say? You don't see many commercials anywhere across the world and you don't have Dodgers in it because they have the star power. They're great players.
Game 1 tonight in Milwaukee. NBA, the Bucks and Bulls got physical last night in Chicago. Bulls guard Emmanuel Miller left due to a chipped tooth. Another Bulls player with a cut above the eye, Dalian Terry, ejected after a fight with the Bucks' Taurean Prince. Milwaukee won the preseason contest, 127-121. NFL, Packers with a 27-18 victory over the Bengals, thanks to some key receptions from rookie Matthew Golden.
Man, he adds another explosive playmaker. I think he made some big-time plays today.
That's quarterback Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clearing with increasing sunshine through the day today and a high in the mid-60s. Increasing clouds tonight. We fall to 40 for a low. A chance of showers and a high in the mid-50s Tuesday. Mostly cloudy Wednesday, a high close to 60. Right now it's 45.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight from HBO's Task, I welcome Jamie McShane and comedian and host of the WGN Morning Show, Mike Toomey. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning, 8:06. Nice to have you here back up north on this Monday morning. It is October 13th. It is Indigenous Peoples Day. It's a holiday for some folks. Parker Olson producing the show down in Madison Studio A2. And joining us now from Madison Studio A1, our friends from 92.7
WNBX.
It just rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it?
I know. Got to get rid of the 7, but no one will listen.
Yep, there's John and Gordy. Guys, how are you?
Good. Doing all right, Pat. How are you? Happy Monday.
It's nice. It's a nice Monday. Nice to be able to wear the Brewer gear for a little bit longer here, heading into game one of the league championship series.
See this right here, right on
your head. There it is. Yes. It's subtle. It's understated. And yet,
it's a Brewer t-shirt.
Yeah, and I put all my Cubs gear away for another year.
Aww.
I know.
A whiner.
No, speaking of whining, let's get Gordy into this right away.
Okay.
There were at the team photo after defeating the Cubs on Saturday, Trevor McGill grabbed one of the L flags from one of the fans and held up a fly the L flag above the team photo. And you heard from some social media circles, you had that's just poor sportsmanship. And yet there are also Cubs fans who are like, oh yeah, we'd have totally done the same thing. I mean, they get it in the moment of beating your division rival. Yep, so Gordy, Milwaukee Brewers flying the L, classless or understandable?
I get it, and I like the Brewers. I mean, I grew up in around Chicago and moved up here, 25 years ago or whatever it was, 30 years ago. But, I now that the Cubs are out of it, I'm going to root for the Brewers.
I'll throw my two cents in. Yeah. I'm from Milwaukee and I ought to know. old beer slogan.
Is that Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Yes, it's Milwaukee. Pabst Blue Ribbon. Yes.
I'm
singing it in my head right now. But I think that because this rivalry is so friendly, I actually think it's a friendly rivalry. I think that it's okay to do the L flag.
Yeah.
In fun. So that's where I stand on it.
Okay.
I'm not inebriated.
There are still plenty of folks, scattered throughout Wisconsin, older folks who predate the Brewers' arrival in 1970. Yes. So the Cubs were all that they knew and continue their Cubs fandom to this day. That is completely understandable. Yes. It's just that this year it feels particularly good because first it was against a division rival, one managed by our former manager Craig Counsell, and now the next step is to exercise the demons of 2018 in going up against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I should be
I mean, I am nervous about it. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that we swept the Dodgers in all six games this season and with everything else that this team has done,
yeah.
I'm not sitting here fixated on losing to them in 2018. It's now about, no, I think we can take these guys this time around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody's jumping in to agree with this.
No, well, no, I agree.
Hey, Dodgers have a great team. I mean, yeah. They wouldn't get this far if they weren't great. And
well, or have a $500 million payroll.
You know, well, there you go.
As well, which if maybe we could take the Dodgers payroll and just use that to buy out Luke Fickell, and then everybody would be happy, you know?
I'm not really into baseball very much, but I have to say that the Brewers looked not as sharp as they could have looked during the series.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just an observation I'm making. I don't know a lot about it. And by the way, why do they change pitchers so often during the playoffs? Well,
that's a great observation. They do that. Playoff baseball is a little bit different than regular season. So they use their best pitchers and they use them as often as possible, depending on what the lineup looks like.
Yeah.
So, those games are spaced out enough that they can use their pitchers and they're ready to go, two or three days later again. So they use the very best.
Well, okay. But, the pitcher, like three strikeouts in a row and then they replace him. Yeah. I'm just like, what's going on here? I just don't understand baseball.
Yeah.
I do. And I am so looking forward to this, but there will be these nerve wracking moments. Like when Jacob Mizorowski was on the mound, because he'd been so erratic at times.
Yep.
That it was nice to see, he kept thinking, except for giving up the one home run, which really frightened me for a moment, but he kind of held it together after that. So I'm just thrilled to have, mid-October baseball that is still relevant. By the way, real-time corrections here. The song lyric goes, "We're from Milwaukee and we ought to know. It's good old Blatt's beer wherever Blatt's you go. Beer. Kegs, cans, and bottles all taste the same. The three best is one beer. Blatt's is the name."
It was
marketed directly against Pabst Blue Ribbon in the so-called working class market of the time.
Well, that didn't work out in the long term, did it? We thought it was Pabst.
Yeah, well, Blatt's went away a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, Blatt's went away. I haven't even heard of Schlitz is long gone. And
you would have think they would have played off the name Blatt's. You know, I'm getting Blatt's. Right?
Why not? Let's get Blatt's.
Yeah. That was like something out of The Simpsons. They would have had a lot of fun with that instead of beer. Goodness. Mm. Yeah, talking to John Accordi here. In the Chicago area, Old Style was like the king of the market there. This beer brewed in La Crosse for all those years. And there were some good stories there about the marketing of Old Style down there back in the day, and people just really responded to it, probably because they didn't want to drink anything out of Milwaukee with the rivalry and everything else. But this would be this is under the category of Madison history here, because Milwaukee, it was all Blatt's and Schlitz and Pabst for a while. And Miller was kind of like, on the undercard, but Miller somehow has survived everybody. But in terms of history of Madison, I wonder would somebody be able to say, oh my gosh, in the 50s or 60s or 70s, I mean, it was this, if it was Old Style or if it was one of the Milwaukee beers or heaven forbid something from Missouri.
Wow. That's actually a really good question.
Yeah, I can't think of any beer in
who's
Madison.
The official beer historian of the Madison market, I wonder.
We'll have to find that person now, I guess.
That's
our homework. Thank you.
That's for the homework. No problem. Yeah. Things change. I'm sitting here over at the home of Leinen Kugels, and that brewery ain't producing Leinen Kugels anymore.
That's sad.
Yeah, whatever happened? Did they have the restaurant, or did they keep that
open? Oh, yeah, they have the Liney Lodge, which is basically a gift shop and a tasting facility. They're still using part of the brewery for, I forget how they call it, like test brews or micro brews or whatever like that.
Yeah,
they're allowed to do that. And so, they're trying to milk whatever they can out of the name for as long as they can. Mm-hmm. And now you kind of are in that period of, later on, nobody was drinking Pabst for the longest time. And now PBR is back. And now there's a Pabst Light that is really catching on. And so what will be the future of Leinen Kugel? And will that come back? And you really have to have a history discussion like this to realize, things do change. It doesn't seem like it, but over time, people's taste change as well.
Well, you know, true. But Hibernia is like a really popular around Lambeau Field.
Yes.
Right? They've got a brewery right there and everything.
Yeah. There was a Hibernia in Eau Claire as well. And then Walter's Beer, which we mocked. We did a commercial at the college TV station. The slogan was, "Come taste what's flowing through Eau Claire." Walter's Beer did not make it. Tony writes on YouTube, "The beer historian of Madison is Luke Mathers, I believe." That could be, but he's off really? Today, so we can't ask him about that. We're talking to John and Gordy from 92.7 WMDX down in Madison. Gordy has spent his weekend not only nursing his wounds from the Cubs losing, but from all the paper cuts you get from moving boxes.
Yes, like moving from one side of town to the other, from the near west side to the far east side.
He's not saying it, but he's moving from where I live to someplace else.
Yeah, I need to be a little farther away.
Thanks a lot, man.
Are you moving on up as George and Wheezy did, or
downsizing a little bit?
Downsizing.
I got too much. The house that I rented the last year and a half or so, it's just it's too much for me. It's too big. Mm-hmm. I don't need that much space. It was time to downsize, so this is the way I'm doing it.
And your neighbors didn't like it either.
Well, the neighbors didn't like the gazebo in the backyard. I don't know. I don't know what their problem was.
Are you filming Hallmark movies back there?
No. It was all good. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. I don't know what they found objectionable.
I feel bad about the gazebo. We really didn't go out there and party enough.
The gazebo so people could come over and hang out, but nobody did.
It's like nobody comes to your party. That's
so. Did the gazebo stay with the house, or did you pack it up?
Is it something we can set up? It was like a portable tent. Gazebo tent.
Parker, we had to tie it down.
Yeah, think about this.
It was like a tent. But it was great. I mean, I enjoyed my time out there. It was a party of one. But
you know what? But that would make even for a good studio, because as you know, as you can look on your TV screen and say, Madison Studio A2, of course, is a glorified broom closet.
Yeah.
If we kind of reconfigured it and put the gazebo in there, and Parker was just always broadcasting from a gazebo, basically playing the role of like, he was like Woody Harrelson on Cheers. He's just the friendly young bartender there.
Could you put me on the roof, maybe? I think we could do that.
Yes, I think
the roof here.
Sure. We could put the tent up there.
Yeah, that's it.
We've been up there.
Now, the gazebo was great for about a year and a half, but then we got some pretty gusty winds. And I would, the first year, I took it down a couple of times when there were 50-mile-an-hour winds predicted. And I thought, okay, I'm going to take it down. Second year, I thought, you know, it stood up pretty well last year. I'm just going to leave it up. Uh-oh. That was a bad decision because it did start to tear a little bit in a few places. Yeah. And that was kind of a sign.
And Parker's young. Well, yeah, I was going to say Parker's young and skinny enough that it could be a balloon boy situation where he gets blown away with the gazebo.
Yeah. Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Like a hand glider. There you go.
Well, look, just provide traffic reports while you're doing it. At least be useful. I mean, if you're going to get carried away by the wind, at least try to earn that paycheck. Okay. And John, how are you doing? You took a little tumble the other day.
I did. I fell in the yard. I have a very lumpy yard and I tripped on one of the lumps and landed face first in the grass.
He face planted.
Oh man. That was something else. Yeah.
Got a little cut on his nose.
Yeah. There. Right on the bridge of my nose. It protected my nose. It's so big that it protected my forehead from hitting the ground.
So, built-in airbag, is that what we're trying to say here?
Much okay. Yes. Now I have a border collie, and that border collie followed me into the house. Mm-hmm. Did not do anything else. It made sure that I made it into the house, and you know, that's what border collies do. You know, that's my pet.
I would have preferred,
you injured your finger too.
Well, I injured my finger
just a clutch, Pat. I, you
know, that's a falling apart.
He's got a brace on a finger.
No, my.
Yeah, you know, we have levers. I like to say lever. It's a lever. Levers. And, you know, I put a lever on all our doors in the house because it's easy when your hands are full of groceries. You know, you just pop the lever up or down, you know. Mm-hmm. But I did that with my finger and it really hurt a nerve or a muscle and I'm, you know, injured again.
My goodness.
I know. I'm trying to gather some sympathy around the station.
Maybe we can we nurse it with some Fauerbach beer? Because I've got a guy, Larry from Deerfield, on the line showing us a photo of Fauerbach beer, a Madison brewery. And he says he went to college with Pete Fauerbach, whose dad was the last of the line. Fauerbach beer ringing a bell there?
I think it's in Cross Plains, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Fauerbach. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
I like this. All right. For more scintillating beer history, tune in to John and Gordy weekday mornings from 6 to 8 on our Madison station, 92.7 WMDX. Catch it through the Civic Media app if you're out of town. Hey, guys, thank you very much. Hope you have a great day.
All right, thanks,
Pat.
You too.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire about support for higher education in Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national databanks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit MentalHealthCareWorks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. It is a Monday morning. It is October 13th, 2025, Indigenous Peoples Day, a holiday for some folks, including a Courier newsroom. So no newsletter today, but it will resume tomorrow. And as always, you can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com and click on subscribe up in the top banner. You can also get our Sunday morning newsletter with its question of the week. And this week we ask, where do you stand on mining up north? Because once again, there was more test drilling done, potentially for someday mining for zinc or gold or whatever else they think that they can find up there, but at what price? And so I ask, if you are opposed to mining up there, if you're in favor of mining up there and you trust the companies to regulate themselves, or if you're okay with mining, but only if there are some strong regulations that, kind of keep things from getting out of hand. So again, to see our question of the week first, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. State Representative Jody Emerson now joins us, represents the Eau Claire area. Representative Emerson, how are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thanks. We're going to talk in our next segment about a new package of bills that you're putting forward on higher education and supporting it in the state. So we just wanted to, in this segment, cover some of the more local matters that are out there. We were just talking to John and Gordy about Madison and Milwaukee area beers. And I know the Eau Claire scene, the Chippewa Valley scene, is much more than Leinenkugel. I don't know how many events you and others have held at the Brewing Project, and there's Lazy Monk Brewing and all that. But you go way back, and you know, we were talking about Walter's Beer was there. There was the Hibernia Beer Garden for a while there. Did I miss any? I mean, between you and Julian, you probably strike me as people that, you know, grabbed a six pack and drank it in the car a few times at Carson Park.
Oh no, we were so young that when we were dating that I wasn't even legal before we got married. So
to be clear, we're talking about the beer, folks, in case no, please don't write anything about that.
So of course I never had any alcohol in a car in Carson Park or anything. So yeah, I'm trying to think of, I can't think of the older breweries that are now gone, but you know, there's a couple of great little, you know, Modicum Brewing is in the area, and it's always fun to find those little startup breweries.
So. And the history of brewing in that area is such that the oldest continuously operating business in town is the Amber Inn, which at the time, back when breweries had their own bars, and I don't recall if it was Walter's or if it was some other brew, but Amber Inn is still open, still serving great cheeseburgers, by the way. Oh my goodness. But such a good history of brewing there that I just wanted to continue the conversation over here. So we've got the assembly in session tomorrow, and one of the bills that is being taken up, and I've talked about it briefly before, but you know, want your thoughts on it as well. This Republican package of bills meant to end what they consider to be the onerous regulations in the state, that we're one of the most heavily regulated states in the country. And when you think of regulations as safeguards for the environment and for consumers and for employees, my response to that is good. It means we're doing something right in this state. Not that every regulation is perfect, but I would much rather have, you know, a proper amount of safeguards than to let, you know, business and industry run roughshod over the rest of us.
Yeah. I mean, talking about your question of the week with mining, I just think, you know, if we don't have some safeguards and some parameters in place, we're going to have some, you know, fly by night mining operation that's going to come in, dump a whole bunch of chemicals in there, take the things out that they want to, and leave and quote unquote go bankrupt with that company so that there's no legal ramifications at all. And, you know, safeguards, regulations are there to safeguard us all. It's there to make sure that the company is working in a safe way for workers and leaving the environment safe for the rest of us who stay here. So I don't think all deregulation is appropriate. There's, like you said, there's probably a few we could roll back here and there.
Well, so. It's all a matter of ongoing monitoring as things are brought to your attention. I think, for example, of the liquor industry overhaul bill from the last session, we've had on the program a couple of times guests who have said that, you know, they would like to revisit that for, you know, so-called wedding barns and other venues. There is always an opportunity to look at things and look at modifying them. But the answer is not like in this Republican bill. Well, every regulation disappears after 7 years, unless an agency takes steps to renew it. That just sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Well, and I hope that seventh year, that eighth year isn't an election year, because, you know, we only meet like twice in the beginning of the year and then are out for the rest of the year. So it could get like the wild, wild west at some point. So.
Mm-hmm. We have been talking about not just this session, but also basically the lack of sessions since the budget bill passed. There's a headline in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning from Molly Beck saying, "Democrats vying for control argue lawmakers need to work more." And she notes that the state Senate hasn't met since it passed the state budget in early July. The state assembly has met on the floor 13 times this year by comparison. And Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hasselbein says the Senate hasn't met for 90 days. It's terrible. We have a lot of work to do in the state of Wisconsin. I urge my Republican colleagues in the state Senate to get to work. So this is all to say, Jody, that y'all seem to be doing your part over in the West Wing of the Capitol and need to talk to those people with senitude over in the South Wing.
I'm glad you brought up my favorite word, senitude. But
senitude, it was.
Yeah, we've been working really hard in the assembly. Lots of committee meetings, and mm-hmm. You know, doing a few more floor sessions than the Senate. But
yeah,
you know, you were in the Senate, Pat. You know how that goes. The assembly does the work, and the Senate takes the credit. So.
I don't know that I'd put it that way, but definitely this Senate needs a kick in the pants. We're talking to State Representative Jody Emerson, and we'll talk about her package of bills to promote and support higher education in Wisconsin. On the other side, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin has joined a multi-state coalition in filing an amicus brief challenging the Trump administration's use of the National Guard in Oregon. According to a press release, the brief argues the Trump administration has relied on exaggerated and inaccurate descriptions to justify the deployment of the National Guard for civil law enforcement. It also argues that states have an interest in ensuring their National Guard units are available to continue providing their usual essential services, like responding to natural disasters. Republican state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to limit political donations made with a credit card. The proposed bill would bar political parties and candidates from accepting online credit card donations unless the contributor making the donation provides a verification code and a U.S. address. The legislation was discussed in a state assembly committee on Wednesday, where some questioned how the state could enforce the additional requirement. Republican lawmakers say the bill is an election integrity measure. Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials are warning residents that flu activity will begin increasing rapidly as colder weather starts to settle in. The agency has reported that flu activity is minimal and stable currently, but other respiratory illness activity like COVID-19 is starting to increase. Officials are reminding residents to take steps to protect themselves against respiratory illnesses, like ensuring they are up to date on vaccines, thoroughly washing their hands regularly, and staying home when they're sick to prevent further spread. Northland Adaptive Recreation officials say their annual Shoot for Fun event brought in the third largest fundraising total in the organization's 27-year history. The annual event is the organization's only fundraiser of the year, with all of the proceeds going to support adaptive recreational sports programs for residents across the Northland. Those programs help over 350 residents participate in sports like archery and cycling with specialized adaptive equipment. This year's event raised a total of around $107,000. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Normally, I prefer to see movies in the theater, but we'll have to rethink that when Minecraft 2 comes out. Variety reports a Minecraft sequel is in the works after the first flick made almost $1 billion worldwide. Not sure if you remember or heard this, but there is a zombie chicken baby scene that made teenage boys do very gross things in the movie theater. You might want to sit that one out and wait for it to stream. Minecraft 2 is scheduled to hit theaters July 23rd of 2027. Variety is also reporting that Bradley Cooper is in talks to star in the prequel of the Ocean's 11 franchise. The film will be set before the first Steven Soderbergh version of Ocean's 11 in 2001. This franchise is a remake of the original Ocean's 11 from 1960 that starred Frank Sinatra and some of his Rat Pack pals. The new film is rumored to be set in 1960s Europe. Margot Robbie is already on board to play the female lead. They are really milking this ocean thing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clearing with increasing sunshine through the day today and a high in the mid-60s. Increasing clouds tonight. We fall to 40 for a low. A chance of showers and a high in the mid-50s Tuesday. Mostly cloudy Wednesday, a high close to 60. Right now it's 43.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. You can win tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha, and Jane Matinere is in to talk about headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Along with the daily newsletter from Up North News, our friends here at Civic Media have a daily newsletter that they have begun recently over at Substack. To sign up, head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, that's civicmediatoday.substack.com to get signed up. It's all about, it's got all kinds of show highlights, talk about the guests, news stories, other links. So get yourself signed up for Civic Media Today. And again, if you didn't follow it earlier, as far as the Brewers playing the Dodgers in the National League Championship Series, Game 1. Coverage starts at 6:30 this evening on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. Our guest now is State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire, who has put together a new package of legislation designed to strengthen and protect the state's higher education system. And Jody, let's start with the need for a package like this in the first place. Then we'll break down each of the elements. But you know, why did you feel it was necessary to have a package of legislation with all these types of elements? Is it like a lack of support, or do you feel like higher education is being undermined in the state, or what led to this?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Pat. I'm the ranking Democrat on our Colleges and Universities Committee, and I've served on this committee since I got into office in 2019, and it feels to me like in that committee, we are just talking about a lot of the perceived boogeyman instead of impacts of things that are really truly impacting students' lives. And, you know, when I talk to students, I'm hearing about the crushing debt that they have. Well, Wisconsin taxpayers pay in about 17% of what it costs for college education now. You know, back when you and I were in school, that was closer to about 50%. And so that's part of the reason why it is so expensive. There's a lot of things that need to change in higher education. I would say respect is a big piece of it. We need to stop having these conversations about, you know,
indoctrination.
Yes,
comes to mind.
I was trying to think of a nice way of putting
The other word that comes to mind is micromanagement. When you talk about what the boogeymen that they're talking about are all these ways to micromanage. Again, the alleged party of small government is all about micromanaging the educators who are there and denigrating them with insults, you know, like indoctrination and things like that. So to actually see a package of legislation that supports higher education is rather noteworthy. So let's break these down. There's five different areas. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, so we've got a couple of bills that we really highlighted in our press conference last week that really focus on students. You know, the faster that students can get out of school and with a degree, the more likely they are to pay back their loans and be successful in the future. And so we've got a bill that deals with student success and retention. And we also have another bill that mirrors what is happening in Madison with the Bucky's Promise. So any family that earns under $71,000 for the entire family would get free tuition at any campus around the state. And we think that's, you know, incredibly important. Minnesota has something like that. Several other states do. And this is a bill that says to our working class families, you can get higher education if that's something that you want to do and are willing to put in the work. Don't let money be a factor with this. And then the other three bills that we put out really deal with staff and faculty. So restoring shared governance, restoring tenure, restoring collective bargaining. All these are things that went away during the Walker era when the insult to higher education really started full force in our state. And we think that if we're going to be micromanaging all of these people, we need, at least need to make sure that they've got a seat at the table so that they can have input as well.
So when you talk about restoring shared governance, the decision-making authority for students and faculty, that again, you said that was something that Scott Walker and Republican legislators took away. What is the current situation compared to what it should be under this package?
With the current situation, it's really a top-down approach. If the chancellor wants something, if the Board of Regents wants something, if the president wants something, it's going to happen. So these are all kind of shared governance and collective bargaining really work hand in hand. They're very similar. So think of the workload requirements that came through in the budget for higher ed, for the UWs in particular. This is all being decided at the Board of Regents level, and people who are on campus, who are doing the research, who are doing the work, don't get a say in, you know, does this mentoring of all these students, does that count for a class load or does it not? The universities are not the way that they were back in the 70s, where people go to lectures, they come in, they take a test, and that's their grade. Everything is a lot more hands-on than it ever used to be. And we want to make sure that the workload requirements reflect the work that all of these professors and other teachers are doing. So,
and then there's also the note there about restoring tenure protections for faculty. And again, that's a a famous bugaboo for folks on the far right. So let's take it back to basics and explain why is tenure important? Why is it important for faculty to have the protection of tenure in the ways that they teach their classes?
Yeah, so one of our new people this year, Ben DeSmit, is really leading on this bill, and I wish he was here to really make the case for this. He's worked in universities before and taught classes, and he's got some great arguments for it. But really, it comes down to, it is getting harder for us to recruit people to come in teach at our universities of Wisconsin, whether it's Madison, Milwaukee, or one of the smaller comprehensive campuses around. Not having tenure is a key protection that most people are looking for. That means that if you say one thing wrong that gets blown up on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, you won't get fired immediately. Even when there is tenure, there still is a way that people can lose their jobs. So this isn't some almighty protection that people can just, you know, slough off and never work again and still get paid. Tenure just means that in our current political climate, President Trump can't make a phone call and fire somebody.
Or Derek Van Orden, in the case of
Can
put up a tweet that gets a teacher fired. Yeah, right.
Exactly. You never know what's going to happen. And so in the political climate where higher ed is getting beaten up time and time again, this really does give some protections to people. But the bigger piece that we're seeing is it's impacting who is actually coming into the state and taking these jobs.
We're talking to State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire about a package of bills designed to support and strengthen higher education in Wisconsin. And, you know, the topic of tenure protection, I think it's one of those that was prior to this year, it was a little tougher to make that argument because it was easy to paint tenure as something that could be abused. But I think the script has been flipped on this, thanks to Trump and Derek Van Orden and everything in the wake of the Charlie Kirk murder, where, you know, people who say they're for free speech until a speech that they don't like. And now they're actually using their power as a congressman, as a president or whatnot, to try to get people fired from their jobs. It seems like this year, amidst the sweeping arm gesture, the wreckage of what we've had to deal with this year, it becomes a little bit easier to stand up for things like actually protecting the free expression of people like university faculty.
Yeah. And I mean, I just want to make it clear that, you know, professors, teachers, assistants, all the folks who get our keep our universities running, whether it's maintenance workers or whoever, they all deserve a safe place to work. They deserve to be compensated well for their time, and they deserve to have some say in their working conditions. And that's what collective bargaining is. You know, as we saw during the COVID pandemic, I think that really flipped the script on what it's like to have collective bargaining, because it's not just about pay, it's about working conditions as well. Making sure that, you know, it works for your life and being able to have a say in the job that you're taking, I think is incredibly important. And we know that that has been beaten up in the Republican controlled legislature for going on 15 years now. And if we're going to make changes in this state, these are some of the changes that Democrats would like to be able to see.
We're talking to State Representative Jody Emerson about higher education. And it's just my own opinion on this is it feels like the pendulum is swinging back towards something closer to equilibrium in the sense of how we look at the different types of higher education. We had heard for years that people in the trades, technical colleges and things like that, felt like, you know, the people in the ivory towers were looking down their noses, you know, and that everybody was supposed to go to college. How many times have we heard college is not for everybody? So then there was this emphasis on the trades and on technical colleges and things like that, to the point where I, as, you know, an unabashed supporter of liberal arts, felt like it had flipped. And now there are all these people looking down their noses at higher education. Like, why would you go to college or university? And I feel like we're finally getting back to a point where people go, you know, we don't have to be fighting one or the other. Let's support all the different ways that you can have a healthy, educated workforce and citizenry in the state of Wisconsin. That is that too much to ask?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, this package really, some of the bills focus specifically on the universities of Wisconsin, but student success and retention, you know, that is for both the technical schools and the UW. And we need both. If we look at a medical industry, we need the x-ray techs, the ultrasound techs, all of those folks trained at the technical schools. And then we need the RNs and the docs trained at the universities. Both are true. You know, when we look at the roads that we drive on every single day, yep, the road builders need that technical training that comes from the either their apprenticeships or the technical colleges. But we also need the engineer to design the roads that the road builders build. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the great things about the universities of Wisconsin and our technical schools is that they are present in all 72 counties, whether it's a campus or whether it's research that they are doing on behalf of a local Lake Altoona to help the sediment go away, or perhaps they're working with the local governments to help write grants to get better projects done in their area. There's not a corner of this state that isn't part, that doesn't benefit from our universities of Wisconsin and our Wisconsin college technical system. We need to have good discussions about these, make sure that they are fully funded to the best that we can do, so that we've got a well-trained and workforce of the future.
One note on YouTube from PJ says, corporate America caused the problem by requiring a college degree for entry-level jobs that don't exist. I believe that was called the paper ceiling. And yeah, I'm not going to put it all on there. But again, I feel like we're doing a better job of getting back to equilibrium and having, you know, the right-sized qualifications for jobs. But that means the right-sized support for every level of education as well. And some of that is coming through this package of bills introduced by State Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire. Jody, always great to talk to you. Thanks for getting up and being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, and go Brew Crew.
There you go. All right. Talk to you later. Thank you. And also, Jody is doing a great job of talking about Universities of Wisconsin. That's the official name now. Some of us are going to call it UW System forever. But anyway, Jane Mattinear tells us what's coming up on her program next here across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
The wait is over. Badger Hoops tips off this month. With new faces on the roster and highly anticipated conference battles ahead, the drive for excellence never changes. From buzzer beaters to Big Ten showdowns, Wisconsin men's basketball delivers the moments you live for at the Kohl Center. Purchase your single game tickets by visiting uwbadgers.com or by calling 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are joined now by Jane Mattinear, conveniently named host of Mattinear on Air, along with Greg Bach, coming up in just a little bit here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane, good morning. How was your weekend?
It was wonderful. Obviously happy about the Brewers winning.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great thing. And the Packers pulled it out yesterday, so that's all good. And
yeah,
people are happy.
People are happy. See how nobody's talking about the Badgers? See, we concentrate on the happy stuff.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. See? What? I had no idea. There's some other good news that I'm just seeing now from this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So I'm probably completely stealing Greg Bach's thunder, but it says here the Laughing Tap is moving to the former Watts Tea Shop location. So I know Greg has been extremely busy on that. And that was announced at the end of the 20th anniversary of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. So pass along our congratulations to Greg for the new digs.
I will do so. He's very excited. And this was always the plan. They've always been looking for a new space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be great when it comes back.
I really, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm betting he did not take my advice and basically video the entire search, because in post-production, think of what a great series you could make out of a reality show of a bunch of comedians looking for a new place for to put their comedy club.
You know? Oh, the potential. Yes. It huge potential for potential. Yep.
Not only for the funny, but comedians can also be they can be rather cruel to each other, a little, shall we say, biting, you know.
Oh, extremely.
So I'm looking forward to hearing Greg talk all about the experience at some point here. But there's so much more coming up on Matt and Air on Air. What other things are you talking about this week?
Well, we are Shelley Pittman, Civic Media's news director, is going to be joining us after 9:30. We're to talk about the rejection, at least in Mount Pleasant, of that data center. And then it sounds like a little late opposition to a data center in Port Washington. We're going to talk about that when we lead off the show. And also, I wanted, George Stephanopoulos had J.D. Vance on yesterday.
Oh, yes, yes.
That was really... You know, that's the way to do it. When you get a politician on who refuses to answer your questions, George Stephanopoulos, I thought, handled it in exactly the right way.
Nobody can quibble with it, because to set this up, the current border czar, Tom Homan, is recorded as accepting $50,000 in cash.
In a fast food bag
last year.
As one does.
Yes, as one does. As part of an FBI investigation into corruption. Now, again, this was during the Biden administration, when you were actually looking for things like, you know, corrupt people who would accept bribes. Mm. Well, now the Trump administration takes over. The investigation conveniently disappears, but there's still one lingering question. Did Tom Homan keep the $50,000 bribe, my words, or did he give it back? Was he required to give it back? It's a very simple question, and the Vice President of the United States is only the latest Trump administration official who can't seem to or won't seem to answer whether that bag of cash went back to taxpayers or not.
Well, and whether or not, so Tom, let's say he kept the cash. Did you pay taxes on your bribe?
Yeah.
Not having taken many bribes in the course of my life, I'm not sure exactly what the protocol is.
I know that if you get that, much like in gambling, you have to report, you have to pay taxes on it.
You do. So yes. I would have to call my tax guy and said, look, I took another bag full of $50,000 in cash. Mm-hmm. I guess I have to report this. Shucks.
Yeah. And look, somebody else will have to investigate it as a bribe. Of course, that investigation, again, mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah.
But yes, he could still theoretically face tax evasion, but he won't answer the question as to whether he had it. So when J.D. Vance was tap dancing and going, how many, I don't know what to say. And finally, just George Stephanopoulos just cuts him right off.
It was so great.
Perfect.
It was a thing of beauty. It really was.
I'm just glad that you see this, because I don't like sounding like an old man all the time saying how Tim Russert was the last guy to ask these kinds of questions. I need a new generation of people. Now, George Stephanopoulos is not part of the new generation, but I truly need the next Sam Donaldson, who's out there, you know, who's asking these tough questions, or the original gang from 60 Minutes. And we're just not getting that. We're getting so much of what you would call access journalism that I am so glad to hear that you're going to be, you know, calling attention to the right way to hold an administration accountable.
Well, and you bring up such a good point, Pat, because Donald Trump keeps saying now that they're going to cut drug prices by 1,500%. There has not been one follow-up question from a reporter on how that math works.
How does that math?
And I don't math myself, but there are people who do. And I know you cannot reduce something's cost by 1,500%.
No.
My statin guy is going to be paying me. They're going to pay me money now, apparently.
Right. And that's, I'm pretty sure that that's not what's going to be happening here. And again, these are things that, I don't know, in the prior administration would have been merciless amounts of coverage. And we don't seem to be getting that here. So that's why we're celebrating this one nugget.
Yes.
of, yes. of accountability in the Sunday morning interviews, because the Sunday morning interviews, quite honestly, have become so useless lately without the appropriate follow-up, that it's nice to see something as basic as a repeated follow-up until you understand that this guy's just not going to answer. So
yeah,
that's all good.
It was a thing of beauty.
So
it was.
It was. I know. And then, of course, the previewing some Brewers action against the Dodgers tonight.
Brewers and Dodgers in action. Hopefully we can just, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, boom, boom. It'll just be done.
Oh, I like 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, boom,
boom, boom. 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, boom, boom.
There you go, Parker. That's it. That's what we need.
It'll be done.
And we're gonna do it. Brewers and four. Love it. Jane, Matt, and Eric coming up after the news here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Jane. Have a great day.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. See you next week.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you very much, Parker. Thank you as well. And thanks to all of you for being part of our morning here, powered by Up North News across the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News is part of Courier, a pro-democracy news network at couriernewsroom.com. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. Joy in Israel as Hamas has released all 20 living Israeli hostages. Sound of a phone call between family members and released hostage Bar Cooperstein. These hostages now receiving medical treatment at hospitals in Israel. There is also a focus on the 28 deceased hostages. Hamas says it will release the remains of four today. Israel, meanwhile, has released more than 1,900 prisoners as part of the deal, which was brokered by the U.S. President Trump celebrated the agreement in remarks to the Israeli parliament.
Now it's time to translate these victories against terrorists on the battlefield into the ultimate prize of peace and prosperity for the entire Middle East.
He called it a new dawn for the region. He's now en route to Egypt, where he'll co-chair a peace summit with the leaders of more than 20 nations focused on the next steps of this agreement. This is ABC News.